Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's take it across the pond. Of course, we're bringing Sir Kenneth Rainford. Kenny, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Before we get to the Marvin Hagler stuff, anything new in the UK as far as boxing news concerned this week?
Well, there is. There's a bit of a rumor flying around that Eddie Hearn from Matchroom Promotions is going to be possibly leaving Sky Sports to join The Zone in August.
Okay, now, Eddie, why is that significant? Can you explain that to the listeners?
Yeah, well, Sky TV is the biggest thing in Britain at the moment with as regards sports. But it would appear DAZN want to take all Eddie's fighters and shows and put them on a regular basis on their network to gatecrash onto the UK scene.
So DAZN is not available in the UK right now?
It is, but obviously all the big fights in the UK are on Sky, so therefore they're watching the big fights on Sky rather than DAZN.
Is that going to piss a lot of people off?
Piss Sky off, I know that.
I'm at the UK boxing fan because, you know, when some guy told me yesterday, Matt Grizzle, he's still upset over the fact that HBO dropped boxing. I told him that was like 7 years ago. Get over it.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one is, you know, I'm a bit confused as how Sky are going to sell this pay-per-view event with Chisora and Parker in May. I mean, these are two shot-worn fighters. I couldn't see many people wanting to, you know, to pay for that fight. You know, he's brought on Chris Eubank Jr. to fight Marcus Morrison on the undercard. And, of course, there'll be a tremendous female fight with Katie Taylor against the Liverpool native Rebecca Jonas, you know.
Katie Taylor, tell the listeners about Katie Taylor, pound for pound considered the best woman fighter in the world, according to BoxRec.
Yeah, well, she reminds me a lot of the coal miner's daughter.
Christy Martin. Christy Martin.
Christy Martin, yeah, the coal miner's daughter, Christy Martin, who ironically, Christy Martin had one of the greatest fights I ever saw on a Mike Tyson undercard against Deidre Gogarty, who was my... She was in my camp at the time. She was part of the team I was involved with Bo Williford, you know. So Katie Taylor's a throwback. She's a real good fighter, you know.
Okay, and talking about the other, you know, there's a good fight as far as women were concerned last night. I don't know if you got to see that. That was on DAZN. Jessica McCaskill was a winner last week over Cecilia Breca. So women's boxing, with the exception of Clarissa Shields, I'm not a big Clarissa Shields fan, but women's boxing seems to be becoming a little bit more appealing.
Yeah, definitely. And let's face it, they're very rarely an adult fight.
Because they got a point to prove. I mean, that's what some girl told me one time in the gym. Like, she was sparring with guys. This girl was sparring with guys. I said, why do you feel, you know, you go out there, you have to look so. She goes, you understand. She goes, I'm fighting for all the women. I said, well, what do you mean? Yeah. She goes, they're all watching me. I said, oh, okay, in the gym too. But anyway, the bottom line is she was supreme. I don't know if you got to saw that girl last night, Ciense Estrada. Yikes. Did you happen to see her, that 105 pounder?
I haven't seen it from last night. No, I haven't seen it yet. I'll be watching that tonight.
Okay, so do you guys watch the fights when they're on DAZN? You watch them a day later? You watch them on YouTube or something? Like, is that what happens? What?
Well, what I do is I watch. I have them stored on my TV because they're on so late. It's, you know, early hours of the morning here. When I used to be working before this pandemic came on, I used to come home from work and watch them. Then now what I do is record and watch them the next day.
Okay. Marvin Hagler passed away a week ago. Of course, Marvin Hagler had 50 fights before he was even given a title shot. And in the first title shot, they robbed him. I mean, that was a blatant robbery against Vito Adafermo. And Adafermo maybe won a few rounds, and they called that one a draw. And, of course, he would come back and obliterate the man that beat Adafermo and Alan Minter. When Marvin returned to the U.K., how was he treated after that night thing in 1981?
You know, When he beat Alan Minter in Wembley there, it was just mindless idiots who jumped on the racial bandwagon, and they were a small number, but they caused a big mess. When Marvin came back to England, he was treated like a warrior that he was. Everyone loved Marvin. I was fortunate to put three after dinner shows on with Marvin, two in Liverpool, one in London. All three sold out. And Marvin was, I mean, he was an absolute dream to work with. And do you know what the thing about it was? He wasn't an attention seeker. He wasn't a massive person who had this this braggadocio of having loads of fans around him and stuff like that. He was a man's man. When he came to fight, he gave 150%, and he was just a warrior, a proper throwback.
You know, I'm laughing because we'll go back to 1985. I mean, he was prepping for the Hearns fight. We're in Johnny Taco's office, the Johnny Taco's ringside gym on Main and Charleston in Las Vegas. And I'm sitting in the office, and Johnny says to me, "Hagler's coming in. I'm shutting down the gym." I said, "Well, I got to leave." "No, no, no, you stick around." "So, all right." So I got to stick around, and Hagler comes in the office. Goody and Pat Petronelli come in with him, and they got the chairs facing each other, and they wrap Hagler's hands. And it was myself, Johnny Taco, Marvin Hagler, Pat and Goody Petronelli, and nobody's left except me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So that was a little sad. And you know, you're right. He could walk through a room very unassuming if he wanted to. He didn't have to pound on his chest and this and that. But I'll also say this: I told Larry that I spent like countless minutes with Larry Merchant after we talking about me being scared of Marvin Hagler. I talk smack around everybody. I wasn't afraid to talk smack around anybody, but with him, I parsed my words. In other words, when he and I were arguing the Leonard. The Hagler-Leonard decision of 1987, April 1997, with Leonard winning a split decision. He and I argued that down there in Mexico City, and I knew not to argue too vehemently. In other words, I would try to put it like this. I go, "Well, Marvin said it was sort of like a game of math. You know, you gave away the first four rounds, and then Ray Leonard stole three rounds down the stretch." And that's the way I explained the 7-5 score of me having it for Ray Leonard to Marvin Hagler. And he was acceptable. He accepted that. I mean, he didn't beat bitch at me or come back to it, but he was the only guy I would think of in the history of boxing to where I parsed my words around him. I really did.
Yeah. Well, you know, I spoke to him as well about the Leonard fight. I mean, I personally thought Leonard won the fight, and I thought he won it handily. But you know, that's the only blip on his, the only real blip on his, on his record, because he avenged the other losses.
But let's be honest, you know, he was ancient at that point in time, and I want to say ancient because they made him have 50 fights before he fought for the title. I mean, Ryan Garcia's got 23 fights; he's going to fight for the title. You got guys, the kid from Leo, whatever his name is, the bantamweight kid from the UK, has got 10 fights. To talk about him fighting for a title, this guy went 50 fights before anybody would fight him.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just remarkable. And when he went to camp, It was locked down. He'd done everything right yet, right? You got to remember, this guy, his whole entire career was 160.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Entire career.
But is that a knock on him that he didn't step up to 160? There wasn't a 168 at that point in time, but 175. People don't realize 175 pounds is that 15 pounds is a huge difference from 160 to 175. In fact, I think the 168-pound division was well merited, and it should have been in force a long time ago. You know, 15 pounds, bro. 15 pounds of boxing is like 30 years. As far as time, it's just like you can't measure it.
Oh, no, you can't. And the other thing as well, Marvin's not a big guy. He's only a small guy.
Yeah.
He's not a big guy. 160, 168 maximum, I would have said Hagler would have been effective at. At 175, he would have been too small. It would have been like a Dwight Muhammad Kawi, you know, the size difference that he was giving away to his opponents, to like the Michael Spinks and stuff like that. So I think Hagler had his head screwed on, and he knew his weight division, he knew his weight, and as far as I'm aware, he never had to struggle to make the weight. He always had this set routine, diet, etc., and training regime where he made the weight comfortably. He was never one to dry out massively or anything like that, you know.
You know, I was at Taco's gym, and he was doing some finish-up sparring. In other words, just to get loose and this kind of stuff. And the sparring partner, I can't remember who it was, the sparring partner was part of Johnny Taco's gym there. You know, there wasn't one of Hagler's sparring partners, because Hagler wasn't going to spar. But he decided he wanted to spar so he was going to get four rounds in to work with this guy, this journeyman guy. And the guy tried to get, you know, tried to step on Marvin's foot. You know what I'm trying to say? Try to make Marvin look bad. And Marvin hit him with a body shot. And I have to think it caved his ribs in. I mean, the guy went down, and the guy was laying there for like 5 or 6 minutes. And I said to myself, I wanted to lean over in his ear and go, "You brought that spit on yourself." You know what I mean? Because, you know, you respect when you're in there with a guy that's so much better than you, you just better respect him. But some of these guys, they step across the line and they have to pay for it. Right, Sir Kenny?
Oh yeah, definitely, okay. Definitely, 1,000,000%.
Okay.
You know, and he used to love the gyms that were. These modern gyms wouldn't have suited Marvin. I remember him telling me, we were talking about Johnny Taco's gym, funnily enough, mm-hmm. and he's telling me about a sign, I don't know if you remember it, that used to be in there, and it said, feel free to spit on the floor, it keeps the dust down.
Oh, you know, I had so many memories there, and when I wasn't there at this time, but Bruce Curry, the former WBC 140-pound champion, he went after Jesse Reed with a gun. And Johnny Taco had this big armored door at the back of the gym in the alley because of the fact guys used to break in there. So he put this armored door up, not for a protection from guns, but he put it up for protection from burglars, but it saved Jesse Reed's ass.
Oh, yeah.
He was, yeah. I mean, Bruce Curry was fired.
With Bruce Trumler as well.
Yeah, exactly. Bruce Curry was a bit of work. Now, it looks like the Tyson Fury-Anthony Joshua fight is signed. You still going with Tyson Fury all the way in that one or what?
I'm going with Tyson Fury. The fight is signed, but it's not signed because they've yet to work out the deal on the venue, when, and money. All those three are not confirmed yet. They've agreed to fight. But there's been no agreement on money. There's been no agreement on the venue, and when. I mean, it's almost certainly going to take place in Qatar or the Emirates or somewhere in the Middle East. But the problem is, in June, it's going to be absolutely baking hot.
I don't want to laugh, but I've been to Dubai. I was in Dubai in the wintertime. It was like 105 degrees.
Exactly. Exactly, you know. They're talking about they've got arenas with air conditioning under the seats and all this carry on, but, you know, the fight will happen, but, okay. You know.
Real quick, before we go, Lee McGregor, that's the guy I was talking about earlier. Is he a future UK star? Is he the man or what?
Possibly, wait and see. It's early days yet.
Okay, but for 10 fights, he's very impressive, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Very, very impressive.
Okay.
Very impressive. To be honest with you, I was impressed with last night with Anthony Fowler. He's a kid who I know, I've been around.
Mm-hmm.
Although he fought no one really great last night in Jorge Fortier, you know, they had a decent record. He was pretty durable. Okay. He got took out in three rounds.
Okay, I got to press you this before the commercial break. Next week, Alexander Povetkin and Dillian White. Does Povetkin duplicate what he did the first time, or does Dillian White get revenge?
No, I think Dillian White gets knocked out again, but it relates in the fight.
Yeah, I want to think that. Dillian White, why is he unpopular with me? I mean, he seems to be unpopular with anybody over here, but.
You know, he's lazy in the gym, he's lazy.
Hey, Kenny, we'll leave it at that. All the best to you, Sir Kenneth. God bless you, man.
You too.
Kenny Rainford, my UK guest. I call him Sir Kenneth Rainford. Of course, he's Boxing Knight from the UK. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC TV. When we come back, we'll spend some time with Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. Of course, 50 years, wow, March 8th, 1971, passed a couple of weeks ago. We'll also talk about the fact that Rudy Clay fought on that card. That and more on WBC TV, live on Sports Byline USA, the Twitch.tv channel.
How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know.